Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they say that.
Saturday was the busiest day we've had at the airport in 5 years. So I think we've broken that now a few times, but that's pre-pandemic. Going back to 2019, we had 6,700 people screened through the airport, and that's bigger than any holiday day the last 5 years. Any day since 2019, Saturday was our busiest day of all time.
That's wow. That's pretty amazing.
Despite that count, our average wait time at security was under 8 minutes, and the longest hour by hour wait that we have is 20. So if you're there an hour before your flight, even though we ask you to be there too, you would have made your flight, you know, with the maximum amount of time during that Saturday. So proud of our team, proud of the effort that we've got going out there. And again, very appreciative to TSA to continue to work with us and invest more resources than they had previously.
Oh, that's pretty good news. That's still at some weight, but it's not that big of a deal. We were talking about this earlier in the day that people who are under about the age of probably 35 don't really remember what things were like pre-9/11, because, you know, 9/11 was 23 years ago. And, you know, if you were 10 when you start really kind of paying attention, remembering things, I mean, that's right. So I almost, it's hard to tell it and realize that it was true even now. But you used to show up at the airport. I mean, if you were really planning ahead, you got to the airport a half hour before your flight left. Because you would, I mean, and you had like physical tickets that your travel agent would mail you, I mean, if you remember before. But you would, you know, park your car across the street, I mean, you know, like across the drop-off area and typically at a surface lot or something. And you'd carry your bags and you'd drop one off at the counter, and then you'd walk to the terminal with your friends, your family, and maybe you'd go through a metal detector before you got on the plane with your cigarette lit. maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. What, you know, they could come on the plane with you, and then, you know, if they needed to leave or whatever. I mean, just, you know, and you could meet people at the plane. Like, that was before. Now it's, you know, an hour or two ahead of time, and take off your belt buckle and take off your shoes and, you know, suffer this indignity in public in order to make sure that we don't have any more planes getting flown into buildings or, you know, bad things, right? But it's true that, you know, there wasn't even once upon a time, there wasn't even a no smoking section on the plane. There was just the plane. And then they moved the smoking section to the back, which was always to me the funniest thing, is to have, you know, 30 rows of seats and then the smoking section is the back four, because obviously the air doesn't circulate. I mean, obviously, but, you know, now no smoking at all on the planes and everybody goes through the process. So it's just, it's different, and it's hard to believe that it was ever a different way. Well, it was very much a different way. This is a story that concerns me, because it seems, it first seems outrageous, okay? You know, the whole question of what people can say in the classroom, the Stop Woke Act, all the different aspects of what the governor and Republican majority are trying to do to, you know, make our universities, well, their view is just teach what they're supposed to teach. The other side's view is stop being academic freedom institutions and, you know, be like some version of Republican fantasy world or something. But, you know, you have to decide which one you believe is more accurate. But, okay, so that's kind of the discussion. But now you have the case that's being heard in the court. This is in a 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Stop Woke Act, and this is the limiting discussions about race, gender, and, you know, getting rid of DEI and all that kind of stuff, okay? That provision of it has been blocked, okay, by Judge Mark Walker, who called it dystopian, positively dystopian. But the argument that they were having in Miami on Friday was over whether the governor can tell teachers what they can't teach. And what's your first reaction to that? Of course you can't tell teachers what they can't teach. It's the First Amendment. Okay. All right. I'm with you. I hear you. But as the attorney representing the state argued, quote, in the classroom, the professor's speech is the government's speech. And the government can restrict professors on a content-wide basis and restrict them from offering viewpoints that are contrary. As in, could the governor issue a rule that the professors at the university cannot criticize the governor in the classroom? And the lawyer was arguing yes. Charles Cooper of Cooper and Kirk. That was the scenario posed, and he says yes. The governor could issue that rule. You say, what? What about academic freedom? Now, his response is, he says, this is Judge Britt Gant says, is there nothing in your view that the Florida legislature could do about teaching conspiracy theories if they were taking hold? And there were a group of professors who were teaching that the moon landing never happened or that 911 was an inside joke. Right? Is there nothing they could do? So there's some sympathy because on the one hand, it seems like the government should be able to control. I mean, they are paying for it. You know, the government should be able to control what happens in the classroom. But there's also this sense that the government shouldn't be able to totally control what happens in the classroom because that sounds an awful lot like some other governments that we talk about in not so favorable terms, right? So the ACLU, of course, is, you know, saying that the university should be in charge. That's who should be controlling this. And there's a lot of argument over this question. Here's kind of my take on it. Actually, let me get a traffic on the fives from John Pickens, and we'll finish this up in a second. John, go ahead.
That's right. It's brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still, if you're traveling on 29 trying to get onto I-10, seeing that disabled vehicle with roadblock is backing traffic up or all up Highway 29. So other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this kind of question of whether the Stop Woke Act is an inappropriate interference with what goes on in the classroom by the government of Florida. And the lawyers for the government of Florida are arguing that, I mean, we can basically tell teachers what to teach and what not to teach. We do this already through state standards, I think would be their argument, that we tell them you teach this, you don't teach this, you teach it this way, right? When it comes to politics, you know, we could prevent them from criticizing the governor if we wanted to. So my take on that is I think they're probably right that you could. That's not the same as making it a good idea. Because a teacher is an employee. A teacher is obligated to teach within the parameters of what they're hired to teach. And so it may be a bad practice. It may be an anti-democratic practice. It might be a, you know, not the kind of thing we want in a free and open society for the government to say what you can and can't say in the classroom. But they probably do have the authority to do that. And then it would be up to teachers whether they want to teach under those circumstances. You know, I remember a long time ago when I used to teach, and I would talk about things in the classroom that students loved it, but we talked about how your view of human origins has a big influence on what you think about ethics, because if you believe that human beings came about through random chance over time, killing off the weaker versions of their species in order to thrive and prosper through bloody tooth and nail survival of the fittest, the evolution story, it might be that has an influence on, you know, ethics. You know, like that might change your view of whether violence is wrong. It might even change your view of whether rape is wrong, because if your whole goal in life is to spread the seed and to reproduce, you know, it could influence your view of ethics. I said, on the other hand, if you believe in, I don't know, a God who makes you in his image and expects you to live by standards and to protect the weak and to not engage in violence, and you're special and precious and you're supposed to be a caretaker of the world, that might influence your view of ethics. And we also talked about some other things that, you know, the administrators of schools didn't always love me talking about. And so they'd bring me in and say, you know, hey, you can't teach that anymore. I'm like, I can't talk about how your view of origins shapes ethics. No. I'm like, okay, so I have to not teach about, like, sex ethics in order to talk about ethics to these students? I'm like, you can't talk about it like that. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I can't teach here. And that's a choice you face. And I got let go a bunch. The students loved it. The administration did not always love it. Well, that's a choice you make. And in the long run, if enough teachers don't like the environment at the university in Florida and they leave and then we have a bad educational system, well, that's a problem. We suffer for it. So, you know, should the government be telling teachers what to teach and what not to teach? I mean, within certain parameters, yeah, obviously. Broadly, and when it comes to political criticism or disagreement with the existing government, well, I mean, they're not the press, right? I mean, I have the freedom to say things that are critical of the government, and they literally can't stop me. But a teacher is not a member of the press, and we've kind of, I think, come into a world where we maybe think they are, and maybe they've gotten accustomed to a certain level of autonomy that's maybe a little bit too far in that direction. I don't know. It's just, you know, things to think about when you're taking in the question of whether the Stop Woke Act or an effort to eliminate certain kinds of teaching at the university level is appropriate, inappropriate, a violation of what you think the First Amendment covers, or just bad policy for the long-term development of a democratic institution like a university. 821 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
World War II was over. The United States military had defeated the Japanese due in large part to the combat and support waged by the U.S. Navy's finest aviators. Despite this, there were many high-ranking civilian and military officials who considered naval aviation unnecessary and thought it should be disbanded altogether. Nonetheless, on April 24, 1946, Admiral Chester Nimitz, Chief of Naval Operations, issued a directive that a flight exhibition team be organized within the Naval Air Advanced Training Command to represent the Navy at air shows and at similar events. Selected to organize the team was Lieutenant Commander Butch Voris, a World War II combat ace who participated in practically all the major air campaigns in the South Pacific. Voris would select his teammates from among combat veterans who were on active duty as instructors at the training command. He chose Lieutenant Commander Lloyd Barnard and Lieutenant Maurice Wickendall, who were his squadron mates during the war, plus Lieutenant J.G. Mel Cassidy to complete the four-man team. But Barnard received orders to Texas and was replaced by Lieutenant Al Taddeo before the first public performance. Based out of Cecil Field near Jacksonville, the team flew the Grumman F-6F Hellcat propeller-driven plane, which served them so well during the war. The Hellcat was a very responsive aircraft. Of critical importance was its inherent stability during inverted flight. The Hellcats used were basically the same aircraft flown in World War II, but with armaments and certain armor removed. The planes were painted blue overall. Yellow paint was used for the words U.S. Navy on both sides of the fuselage and for the plane's number on each side of the tail. The team trained for only a month before their first public performance at the Southeastern Air Show at Craig Field outside Jacksonville on June 15, 1946. The team's 17-minute routine consisted of combat maneuvers and three of the planes flying the V formation about 12 feet apart while rolling on each plane's individual axis. Altitude ranged from 10 to 2,800 feet. The fourth plane was used to demonstrate the Hellcat's capabilities in solo maneuvers. The pilots did not have special uniforms as they do today. They flew in their regular flight suits. In fact, the team did not even have a name. That was to come later. And how the name was selected is quite a story. I'll be back with more after this.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
How the Blue Angels got their name, or should I say names, is the subject of our next chapter of News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of everyone in your community. Listen in today at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, when Director Marie Mott will give a public health update. That's today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You smell what I smell?
Smoke?
Money.
Tell you, I loved XTC back in the day. Such good music, particularly English Settlement. That's the one I grew up on. But the later on, Oranges and Lemons, Mayor Simpleton, it's good. All right. John, were you a new wave guy at all?
A little.
I picture you as a little bit more of a classic rock guy.
Well, I hate to say it, but more classic country.
Oh, okay. No, I should have known that. You're right. I should have figured that out.
I'm originally from Texas.
There you go. So sorry, but glad to have you. John Pickens got traffic on the five.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. If you're traveling on Highway 29 right there at Burgess, seeing some southbound delays, also northbound delays right around that area also. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know what, John? Don't let him make you feel bad about being a classic country guy.
Okay.
We outnumber him. I'm telling you.
That was our format in the very, very beginning.
I know.
Before we were news radio, we were classic country. So, you know, there you go. You never know where your roots might take you.
Absolutely.
True.
Well, checking in with our news headlines, at least 11 people have died and 64 are missing after two separate shipwrecks off the coast of Italy. In one of those incidents, 64 people were reported missing after their shipwrecked off the southern coast. And in the other, dozens of suspected migrants were rescued. But authorities also say 10 bodies were found below deck on a boat near an island there. Search and rescue operations continuing. The White House reportedly planning to launch a parole-in-place plan for illegal immigrant spouses of U.S. citizens that would offer protection from deportation and eventually could provide a pathway to citizenship. And McDonald's is stopping the pilot program they were running for AI-powered drive-through ordering. They'll apparently be removing the tech from the 100 stores or so they had installed it in. And this is because their partnership with IBM is set to expire.
Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you need an import to be worked on, a BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Jaguar, Audi, Lexus, good quality cars, you might assume, it's a natural thing to assume, that you know you need to go to the dealership. Maybe you have to go to the dealership. You don't. You know, there's actually a federal law that protects you in that. It's a couple decades on the books because that used to be the thing. They make it, and you don't have to, okay? So you can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service, no problem. They work on those cars. They work on domestics, too. You know, Dodge, Chevy, Ford, no problem, okay? But you don't have to spend the money to go somewhere else to drive the gas and all of that. You can go right here on Davis Highway to Bobby Likas Auto Service. Although I should say, on Davis and now a second location, right across from the Super Walmart on Highway 29, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard. So now I have to say, what, two locations? I'm totally messing up my exit phrase. But anyway, that's good. They've been expanding because, you know, a lot of y'all go to them. CarClinicService.com is the website. And the philosophy there is like a healthcare clinic for your car. You know, the idea is you take it to them before it's sick, like, you know, just for routine scheduled maintenance to prevent the big catastrophic problem is kind of the idea. So Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway or on Highway 29 across from the Super Walmart. 828 here on News Radio Pensacola. What else do we have going on? We've pushed back the rollout of our hypersonic missiles to at least 2025 now with the Army. Defense One doing good. Defense One's a really good military journalism resource if you want. I mean, military.com is good. Defense One is quite outstanding, frankly. What else? The Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, wants to put a social media or labels, warning labels on social media. I couldn't agree more. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all, going to solve everything, but the short version of this argument is it's not just that we don't have evidence that they're good for kids. We know they're bad for kids. We know it. And it's not just the content, you know, the words and the pictures and the videos. It's the platform itself. The analogy I use, and he kind of uses this analogy too, is it's like cigarettes. You know, just smoking plain old tobacco is sort of bad for you. But the cigarette manufacturers got in trouble because they deliberately added things to the cigarettes to make them more addictive and also more dangerous, but mostly more addictive. And the more addictive is what made them kill people, right? And they made billions off of that. And so they had to pay billions, right? So same thing with the social media. It's not just the video or the image or the words. It's the platform itself that addicts the child's brain and changes the way their brain works and the way they live and their ability to enjoy ordinary reality. That's the dangerous part. So, you know, give them a real book and take away their phones? How hard is it to take away their phones? That should terrify you. That's why we need to do something about this in this country.
I'm Therese Crowley. Homeland Security calls it the American family with mixed migration status. President Biden will take action today on a sweeping parole in place program for illegal migrants who've been here over 10 years and are married to U.S. citizens, giving work permits and a path to legal status to about 500,000. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says this did not happen. President Biden freezing on stage at a Hollywood fundraiser, even though the video shows former President Obama tapping his arm, guiding him off stage. Tonight, President Biden doing more fundraising with former President Bill Clinton and Hillary in Virginia. Summer's not waiting for the solstice to set up a heat dome across the Midwest, Great Lakes, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic. Good thing the public pool's just open for this Philly mom.
Finally get the kids out of the house and bring them swimming so they can, you know, leave me alone.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we have mostly cloudy skies, 78 degrees in Pensacola today. Pensacola's mayor weighing in on the $14.2 million the state of Florida approved towards three major projects in the city.
I think it's a testament to the effort that we've put in advocating for this city. And I say to you guys all the time, in the city of Pensacola, as it pertains to the state of Florida, we have to punch above our weight class. We can't expect that we're going to be treated the same way that Tampa or Orlando or Miami are going to be treated when it comes to Tallahassee.
Last week, the governor signed off on the state budget for the next fiscal year, which includes $7 million for the reimagined Baptist Hospital Legacy Campus, $5 million for the Pensacola International Airport expansion, and $2.2 million to go towards repairs at Bay Bluffs Park. Reeves says the airport expansion remains the city's number one priority as both the design process and fundraising for that continues. An 82-year-old Alabama woman has died after a crash in Santa Rosa County yesterday. That happened just after noon on State Road 87 south of the Alabama line. FHP says the woman was pulling out of the parking lot at the San Handel Lotto store, pulled out in front of a semi-truck. The woman died at the scene of that crash. Escambia County deputies are looking for a missing teen girl. Niaja Beasley was last seen on Ira Street yesterday. She's described as 5'2", 100 pounds, black braided hair and brown eyes. The sheriff's office has posted a photo of her on their Facebook page. And if you have any information, call the Escambia Sheriff's Office. Escambia County Supervisor of Elections shedding a little bit of light as to what led to the disqualification of a District 3 County Commissioner candidate. Speaking yesterday on Pensacola's Morning News, Robert Bender says the qualifying period ended at noon last Friday. John Johnson came into that office only 11 minutes before the deadline. Bender says the first issue was the Form 1 financial disclosure had been filled out rather than the Form 6.
Real quick about this is that it's through the Commission on Ethics. We don't hand out the form. We don't do anything like that. The candidate selects the position they're running for on the website, and it automatically pulls the form. And so in this case, a lesser position than county commissioner was chosen.
There was also an issue with the required funds as it came in the form of a cashier's check. Bender said the check was required to be written from the campaign account with a treasurer or deputy treasurer's signature. District 3 Commissioner Lumen May now runs unopposed for re-election. And a Broward County lawyer believes that the Supreme Court ruling on gambling in Florida could have repercussions that go beyond online sports. Florida gaming attorney Daniel Wallach talked yesterday after the court backed Florida's gambling compact with the Seminole Tribe. Wallach says that this could accelerate Florida's path to online casino gaming to as early as next year or possibly 2026. He tells the News Service of Florida that it seemingly removes a big barrier to iGaming under Seminole Tribe control. It is 8:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John, what are you seeing?
Well, no accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on Davis Highway between Johnson Avenue and Olive Road, seeing some major slowdowns there, so just be prepared for that. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Breezy day today with winds coming in from the east. 40% chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms. High today near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 30% chance of rain. High near 90. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. 50% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we have 78 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 80 in Milton. Your money now this morning. Not a huge change in the markets. The Dow is up 48 points at 38,826.31. S&P up 10 points at 54,83.57. NASDAQ up just under 15 points at 17,871.51. 10-year bond rate down just slightly, 4.25% today. Gold price is up $3 at $23.32. Silver prices down 10 cents at $29.29. Bitcoin down almost $2,000 today at $64,758.76. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun will be testifying before a Senate subcommittee today, or rather a Senate committee. He's expected to apologize for the company's recent safety failures. McDonald's stopping their AI pilot program for drive-thru ordering, the tech being removed from about 100 stores at the end of next month. And there's some new fallout over Red Lobster closures, a new lawsuit filed in California. It was a worker that filed a class action lawsuit after his location in Sonoma Valley shut down without warning. He's accusing the restaurant chain of violating a state law called the WARN Act. It is 8:37. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500 to $41,793 or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola X Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
So sometimes for the frivolous topic, I know exactly what we're going to do, and it's going to be good. This is one where I know exactly what we're going to do, but I don't know if it's going to work. So we'll see, okay? If it fails, it's my fault. If it succeeds, it's also my fault. I guess it's my show or something. Anyway, so the other day we were talking about how you make corn, and, you know, we had a good conversation about how to make corn on the cob and also how to eat corn on the cob. But it got me thinking about something that I had never really thought about much before. Which is, and by the way, my recommendation for corn is that you use sugar in the water, not salt, okay? But, you know, there's a lot of things in which you do salt the water, mm-hmm. right? You know, you salt the water when you're cooking pasta, you salt the water when you're cooking potatoes, you salt the water when you're cooking broccoli or, you know, green beans or whatever. And if you don't salt the water because you got hypertension or whatever, that's fine, doctor's orders, but I'm just telling you what tastes better. But this leads me to my question, okay? In a scenario where you are salting the water for your cooking, do you A, put the salt in when the water's cold and you just started heating it up? Or B, wait until the water's boiling to put the salt in? That's it. Very simple. 437-1620. 437-1620. John, you're giving me the lip grabber look. Like you're not quite sure what to make of this. You're not quite sure what your answer is, or you're not quite sure what's right. What are you thinking over there?
Well, you know, I don't.
Or you just don't cook.
I don't.
Okay.
But when I do.
Yeah, all right.
I remember like halfway through.
So, okay. So
you know, I'm about a halfway person.
So in your process, you fill the pot with water, you put it on the stove, you turn the stove on. A couple minutes, you're like, oh, shoot.
Oh, yep.
Got to put the salt in the water. And then you
exactly.
Do. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Do you measure it or just shake it in there?
I normally just shake it.
Good, good. Don't measure that salt. Just let it rip. Just let it
roll. Let it roll.
So 437-1620, this is where you weigh in. You tell me, you know, your perspective. again, what I have learned in doing this frivolous topic for all these years is there is nothing you think so obvious that there won't be people who do it the other way.
Oh, I know. I'm starting to learn that. I'm starting to learn that now, Andrew.
And who will adamantly defend
mm-hmm.
their way of doing it. So I not only want to know which one you do, but why if you do it that way. All right, 437-1620. So I got my first text in here. It says, you put the salt in when it boils. Well, I would like to know why, because I am a salt in the beginning. I'm a salt in the cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized it, and I thought, it is kind of weird to put the salt in the cold water because it'll dissolve better in the hot water.
True.
But then you run the risk of forgetting, like John.
Right.
And if the water is transitioning from cold to hot over time, it's going to still get to be hot eventually, and it'll dissolve in the hot. And the roiling, boiling will mix it very well, so that's not
true.
An issue, right? So,
right.
You know, and I will tell you the biggest downside of the putting the salt in when it boils is not all of that, although that's all relevant, but have you ever had a salt shaker and held it over, even if it's the, like, the quart of whatever it is, 8 ounce, 16 ounces, you know, the container, the cylinder, if you're pouring it out of there, either way, what's coming up on your salt shaker or on your salt pour as you're pouring, you know, salt into the boiling
hot
water?
Steam.
Hot steam! Is hot steam a friend of salt? Not good.
No,
that's not the best. So in the cold water, I think is 100% the right. Plus, I mean, not to be obvious, but this is not something everybody knows. Some foods you're supposed to cook, you're supposed to put the food in when the water's already boiling. Your greens, typically. Anything that comes out of the ground like potatoes, you're supposed to put in when the water's cold. It needs the extra time to break down the starches and make them, you know, more digestible. Same for corn. You put the corn in when the water's cold, heat it to boil 2 minutes, let it cool for 10 minutes. So just as a, you know, that's, you wouldn't want to put it in the unsalted water later. So I don't know. I'm thinking this is a pretty easy one, but I bet I'm not the only. I bet that's not the only answer. 437-1620. Somebody here says, "I was always taught the water boiled faster is if it's salted, so you salt before." You know, I don't know. John, would you do a quick fact check on that? Is the boil temperature or boil rate of water affected by salt? I'm sure it is, just as a chemistry guess, but I don't remember which way that goes. I just don't remember. 437-1620. Somebody says, I do it right away, immediately when the water is cold. Good, good. Somebody says, I think I'm going back to bed, but first I have to put the salt in. I love it. Oh, now this is interesting. Little nuance, little change of flavor here. In order to avoid the encrustification of the salt shaker, you know, because of the water vapor, that she pours it into her hand and then puts it into the water, which I have never in my whole life done. But I take it back. The only time I have ever done that is you're at a restaurant and you can't tell if salt's coming out. You might pour it into your hand to make sure that it's really coming out because you might wonder. And then, there it is, my hand. But not like as a measuring device. I would never do that. But I bet there are more people who do it that way, 437-1620, as a way of measuring, controlling, and assuring that you're getting the right amount in. So he says, salt before it boils. The salt is a catalyst for the water to boil. Okay, John, quick research. Have you figured it out yet?
Yeah, it increases the boiling point.
And raises it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's bad. That makes it slower to boil.
Decreases the specific heat capacity.
Yeah, it's too far back in my chemistry memory to process that. But you do have traffic on the fives.
Yes, I do. No accidents to that's awesome. No accidents to let you know about. Seeing some slowdowns right now if you're going on Garden Street east and westbound. Right there at Chase Street and Garden, you're seeing some delays right there. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Now, somebody here says you put the salt in the palm of your hand and toss it as it starts to steam. Well, now I'm waiting. And you know what they say, a watched pot never steams.
I didn't know that.
It's a little play on words. Salt in the cold water when first beginning to boil. Put in some olive oil to keep pasta from sticking together. Yeah, I've never been a fan of the oil. A, because I never felt it was necessary. And B, because then you got to clean oil out of your pan.
Right.
It's a whole lot easier to clean slightly salty pasta water out of your pan than slightly salty oily pasta water out of your pan. Wow, I got all those words out in the correct order. That's impressive. It's like Tweedlebee's battling in a bottle in a puddle. I see an entrepreneur opportunity. Maybe we sell boxed salty water.
There you go. Hey, let's do it. Here's your sign.
Here's your water pre-salted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like they sell chicken broth or beef broth. You can sell salted water.
I see that.
Come on, though. Somebody's going to make $1 million. No, well, these days that's not much. Somebody's going to make $20 million selling salted water to kids who don't know how to cook.
It's less they have to do.
It warms my heart to think about that, salted water. Come get yours right from the beach. Somebody here says, do not add salt to a pot of dry beans until almost done because the salt will make them tough. Oh, I never experienced that. That's interesting because I don't cook a lot. I do cook like lentils sometimes and garbanzo beans and things like that. That's chickpeas, by the way, if you didn't know the same thing. And I do add salt, but you say not until they're almost done. That's I've never experienced that problem, so maybe I'm just doing it special. But, you know, interesting news. No, all right, I appreciate that. 8:45 here on News Radio Pensacola. Always good to learn a tip. I always take that to heart. If you're thinking about buying the vehicle next for you and you're trying to decide where they go, or you're trying to put it off because, you know, buying a car is not fun. It's not. I mean, you go to the lot, and what you really want is just like, I just want to buy a car and be left alone. Most people, I don't know if you're like me, but that's me. And then all of the process of the price and haggling the price, and are you really getting a good deal? And is the car really what it pretends to be? Okay, go to Frontier. They understand all of this, and they try their very best to make it as easy as possible. I'll give you a good example. A lot of times you've gone to a car lot, and you kind of like, well, I'd kind of like to sit in that car. Oh, where'd you go to high school? You know, like, why do you need to know anything about me? I just want to sit in your car. And, you know, but they leave their cars open. So you don't even have to tell them where you went to high school. You can just sit in the car, fiddle with the knobs, do that. If you want to drive it, I mean, you got to ask. But you know what? They'll be like, okay, here's a key. You know, it's not that big of a deal. And then you drive it. And if you want to buy it, well, you can work on that. But my point is, they try to make it as easy as possible. And that, plus the way they follow up with you after the sale, I mean, I can't imagine going anywhere else. Frontier Motors, they, you know, good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, and a great selection, about 300 different ones on the lot. They've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, and they don't even care what high school you went to.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Like sports, music, computers, or animals?
So do children who are awaiting adoption.
Families First Network is the connection between children who wait in foster care and families who adopt.
As the trusted partner for adoptions in Northwest Florida, Families First Network connects adoptive families with training and support throughout the entire process.
Begin your journey by signing up for a free Zoom information session at familiesfirstnetwork.org.
That's familiesfirstnetwork.org.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
This is very controversial. Does anyone know what Vice President Bush called this in 1980? Anyone? Something D-O-O economics. Voodoo economics.
You're seeing a reaction to the TikTok ban, right? You know, that they're going to go to court and try to stop it or whatever. And I came across a story the other day that just made me... You ever come across a story that it's not really that big of a deal, but somehow it was the unexpected, oblique bursting of your optimism bubble, and you just kind of like, where do I get off the merry-go-round? Like, I just don't... I have to live on the planet with these people? You know, that's... And I had one of those reactions to a story the other day, and it just, it was so, so, so frustrating. So the story was that a group of researchers did a survey. Now, a survey is public opinion. You know, research, a study is you study the stuff. A survey is you ask the people, okay? So they did a survey of people and their beliefs about sunscreen. It was the Orlando Health Cancer Institute in Florida, and they... did a survey because you remember there was a thing back in 2021 where there was a recall of Neutrogena spray sunscreens and one Aveeno product due to the presence of benzene, a known carcinogen, but at very, very, very low levels, to the point where it didn't really matter anyway. But okay. And it's not a typical sunscreen ingredient or whatever. And so people might have picked up on that story. Okay. But it's a non thing. Okay, it's not relevant, except that maybe you hear that as a backdrop. So what they were doing was they were investigating what people believe about things like sunscreen. And 1 in 7, that's 14%. 1 in 7, 14, 15%, yeah, okay, right in there. I was just checking my own math. 1 in 7 under the age of 35 believe, you ready for this? Under the age of 35, 1 in 7 people, adults, believe that sunscreen is more harmful to skin than direct sun exposure.
Really?
Not even, that's not even the bad one. Now, granted, that means that there's still 86% of them that aren't stupid about this, but like you go out without sunscreen and you get burned. That's burning skin from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You go out and, you know, you wear some sunscreen around the house and then you wash it off and you got nothing because it's not dangerous, okay? And it will protect you from the other thing. 23%, this is so discouraging.
Uh-oh.
23% of adults under the age of 35 believe that drinking more water and staying hydrated will prevent sunburns.
Do what? Really?
23%, a quarter. Because, and here I'm drawing some conclusions that I think are probably warranted, because they learn about the world and science from TikTok. Because they get their news from TikTok. Where just you never know what level of dumbness you're going to get on a daily basis. So when Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General of the United States of America, wants to put a warning label on social media, part of the warning label could be, this is making you dumber. A quarter of them believe that you can avoid sunburn by drinking more water. Oh, my God. Again, just, I kind of want to get off the merry-go-round when I see stuff like that. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on Garden and Palafox, you're southbound, you're going to see some areas of slowness right there. No accidents to let you know in that area. That's it. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Oh, thanks so much. I got the best note in here from somebody who says, we're talking about the salt water right. And the cooking. It says, I lived in Italy for 3 years and knew a chef and a mama cook who cooked in a high-end hotel. They would send us to the beach to get seawater for cooking pasta and shellfish, and it was always delicious.
Huh. Because it's naturally salted.
It's literally God's salt water, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so why not? Andrew, I don't know. But if you're cooking and it's boiling, it's safe. I mean, never would have occurred to me, but that's an interesting approach. So 8:57 on News Radio Pensacola. I feel like I should ask my senior friend here who has been around the world a couple more times than I have, Mike Wiggins, cooking with sea salt water. I'm cooking with Gulf water. What do you think? You put salt in. Okay, all right. So the old, the newfangled way, you know, not the classic way. All right, fair enough. 437-1620. The Supreme Court decided that Trump Too Small can't be trademarked. You remember this story? This is an interesting story. One of the cases that so the historic rule has been that you cannot trademark phrases that include people's names without their consent.
Okay.
Okay, that's been kind of the general rule. But because, you know, that's like identity theft or something. But anyway, so the court on Thursday released a unanimous opinion in which they said that the guy who had made T-shirts, Trump Too Small, as a joke. You remember hands thing and the My Hands Aren't Small and the Small Hands Rubio and just all of that stuff, okay? Anyway, he had made, you know, fairly good amount of money on that. But people had been, I guess, competing against him and taking away his marketplace by using a phrase that he created. And basically the rule was you cannot trademark Trump Too Small because it's something that is in somebody else's name and without their consent. So that's Clarence Thomas actually wrote the opinion. He writes some of the oddest opinions, like such a weird topic, but somebody's got to write the opinion, right? So as he observed, the justices have now twice concluded that trademark restrictions that discriminate based on viewpoint violate the First Amendment. And this does,
because
it's a content-based restriction. You can't trademark something that uses somebody else's name. But it's viewpoint neutral, even though it is based on content, because it's generically a ban of using people's names. So welcome President Biden, I stump for Trump, or Obama pajama. Obama pajama. That's funny. That those would all not be allowed trademarks because even though it's a content-based prohibition, the names clause turns on the content of the proposed trademark, whether it contains a person's name. And if it does contain a person's name and the registrant lacks the person's consent, then the names clause prohibits registration.